He kōna e ipurangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Saturday sport is a bit of a thing in New Zealand, a rite of passage for so many children. Today I'm watching the Fairymead Bay's Phoenix under-12 soccer team. They're playing against Hallswell in Christchurch, and as you'd expect, their parents have turned out to cheer them on. And we generally assume that that helps kids to perform.
I like the cheers.
I like people supporting me.
It's encouraging.
Yeah,
they encourage you.
It's nice to have people that you know.
I think it's better when you play with your friends and family because there's more supporters, so you feel like you can do better.
When you miss the goal or when you muck up a pass, there are still people cheering for you, so like you don't feel like you made a really big mistake.
They'll say like, oh, you'll get it next time, and like encourage you and stuff like that.
Today, as well as a good gathering of family and friends, the team has another possible advantage. Although they play on different pitches each week, today they're at Barnet Park in Redcliffs, their home field. This is where they train once a week. So, is this an ace up their sleeve when it comes to winning or losing? The man to ask is Dr. Brad Miles from the University of Canterbury's School of Health Sciences. He's been studying the concept known as the home game advantage.
Basically, it's a performance advantage that accrues to teams when they play on their home ground as opposed to when they travel away. And so it can manifest in a number of ways in terms of outright win percentages, or you can also have a home advantage when a team loses. So if a team loses on average when they play away by 20 points, but they only lose when they play at home by 10 points, there is still some advantage they get by playing at home.
So we all get the idea at an anecdotal level, but do the results actually back the theory up?
Absolutely. So it's a pretty, what we call a robust phenomenon. So it's been demonstrated across a number of different sports, from international high-level elite performance down to lower, more amateur kind of levels. And it's been demonstrated across a long periods of time. And so when you look at some of the statistics and analyse some of the results and outcomes and data, it's a pretty strong phenomenon.
And Brad's seen it in the results of some of our biggest teams.
So for the Crusaders, they typically win about 60% of their games when they play away, but 80% of their games when they play at home. So even a consistently good team like the Crusaders have a performance advantage when playing at home. And the same applies to something like the All Blacks. So the All Blacks, over a long period of time, are an incredibly successful sports team, but even they have an advantage. They win more games playing at home than they do playing away.
Push up, girls! Backline, push up, push up!
In fact, it's something most sports people have experienced.
Go, good girl!
On the sideline at Barnet Park today, calling encouragement to the girls, is their coach Mackenzie Haberfield.
So I've played football since I was 12. I currently play in the Women's Premier League for Fairymead Bays, and I've played for Canterbury in the wider squad as well.
So what is your experience of the home game advantage?
I think definitely playing at home always has an advantage. You know, you've always got a lot more supporters at home. Yeah, it just adds a bit more enthusiasm and support to the game. I guess myself, from personal experience, I think it makes me play a lot better.
OK, Blue, take it up. Nice. Good shot.
Brad Miles explains that the home game advantage can play out, if you'll excuse the term, in a few different ways. One is the obvious practical stuff.
Things like travel. So when you travel internationally, it can be accompanied by jet lag and disruptions of routines and kind of fatigue. It might be due to local playing factors. So if you are based in an area where it's typically hot and dry and you travel to somewhere where it's snowy and cold, you know, maybe that affects performance.
And at a grassroots level, the girls find that too.
It is an advantage because you've practiced there and you know what the fields are like and everything. And it's also kind of close to home.
It's easier for your family to get here, so then you can have more friends and family.
Because, as we've already heard, having support on the sidelines is another thing that can improve performance.
When you do something in front of an audience, you know, whether it be playing the piano or making a public speech or kicking the winning goal at a World Cup rugby final, the crowd can have an impact. And typically for high-level sports performers, they rise to the occasion. So the crowd creates extra stimulation and it actually improves their performance.
Although not always.
From time to time, that crowd support can actually be perceived as pressure and can create performance detriments rather than improvements.
And that's something even the under-12s have felt.
It kind of depends who the people are. If it's like somebody from school or something, then it can be a bit more pressure because like you don't want to muck up in front of someone from school.
Or you just want to impress them.
But on the whole, the cheering is seen as a good thing.
We should! Well done, girls!
And so if you are used to it, what happens when all that crowd noise and support and feedback is suddenly just gone?
It's depressing.
It's depressing because you're like, oh, should I go up for that ball? But when someone encourages you to go, and you go, oh, yeah, I'll just go up to that.
Sometimes it can be hard. If somebody said they might come and then they don't turn up, you're like, you're distracted because you're looking around to see if anyone's there.
And it can be just as tough at a premier level.
If we concede a goal or our heads are down, it can be a bit harder to try and give yourself a bit of second wind or increase your enthusiasm again. Meanwhile, if you've got all these people cheering you on, there's nothing more motivating than hearing people screaming on the sideline for you and trying to keep you in the game.
But some teams have had to do without that during this period of COVID concern.
Playing without a crowd, particularly if you're used to playing with a crowd, often reduces the excitement and the general atmosphere of the occasion. I mean, certainly from a spectator's point of view, and having a loud, noisy crowd contributes to the excitement and the sense of occasion. And that's partly why some sports have chosen to broadcast crowd noises over top of their coverage of sports. Even though the stadium's empty, they have this artificial kind of crowd to, you know, help increase the sense of occasion. If we're looking at something like the home advantage, taking the crowd out should, in theory, make a more equal playing field.
One group of athletes who have known in advance not to expect any familiar faces on the sidelines are the ones currently competing at the Tokyo Olympics. A spike in coronavirus infections has meant that no spectators are allowed at any venues in the city. Although Brad Miles admits the Olympics are a bit different from conventional sport and athletes are used to competing without much home support.
It's not like the New Zealand rowing team goes to Japan and has a race there, then everyone comes to New Zealand and has a race. So for most of the teams, they're playing away at the Olympics anyway. For home athletes, it's been suggested that there can be a bit of an advantage. So if you look at something like London 2012, the Great British Olympic team did very well, better than expected. And so home advantage is one potential explanation of that.
But he believes the absence of any kind of crowd noise must be a challenge for the athletes.
Obviously, it's a highlight of many athletes' career, and part of that is the spectacle. So the big crowd adds to the occasion, adds to the drama and the excitement of the event. Taking that away does detract a little bit from the occasion, but still, again, it's the height of many people's careers, so I'm sure they'll be up for that in terms of their performance.
But crowds, or a lack of them, don't just affect sports people themselves. There is another way that a home game advantage can show itself, and this is a particular focus of Brad Miles' research.
One of the more powerful explanations comes from the impact a crowd can have on not just the players, but the match officials and referees. And that's particularly the case for sports where match officials have a lot of discretion in their decision-making, where there are really, you know, ambiguity or some grey areas in the decisions that they make. And the idea is that the crowd might sway the performance of match officials through processes of psychological conformity.
So in other words, you've got a big crowd going, foul, foul, and then the umpire was like, okay, should I go along with this?
There's a couple of ways in which we think conformity occurs. One is when people really don't know the true answer or the true decision to make, and they might be persuaded by information that other people are being provided. Another way that conformity might occur is that people often want to go along with the group. It's difficult to stand out or kind of appear deviant. And so if you've got 50 or 60,000 people kind of howling, that creates a lot of social pressure. And so on some of those ambiguous kind of calls, 50-50 calls, there may be a psychological kind of process whereby umpires probably subconsciously alter their decision-making to align with that 50,000 people screaming for a foul or a penalty or a forward pass.
And while it may be subtle and subconscious, Brad Miles says it can have an impact.
Over the course of a match or a season or a decade of sports, you know, having a little bit of sway just here and there on those 50-50 ambiguous calls, which typically, on average, you know, one or two times they might sway towards the home team, but it can make a difference in the long run.
Yeah, and people are only human after all.
Umpires, match officials, like the rest of us, are human, and so they're subject to the same kind of psychological quirks and behaviours that we're all subject to, and conformity is a pretty powerful one, both in everyday life, and then on the sports field as well.
Push up, 2D! Well done!
Mackenzie Haberfield believes she's seen this phenomenon in action herself.
I think that if the ref is experienced, then I haven't come across many issues, but I definitely have found that refs that are new to the game do get easily persuaded by other players, parents, the crowd and everything as well. So yeah, I definitely agree with that one.
So what do you do about that? Brad Miles is researching ways to combat the issue.
So at the moment I'm looking at what happens with the introduction of some technology into sports umpiring and officiating, and third umpires and match reviews and television, match officials and so forth, that some of that impact that umpires have on the field might be taken away, and so that would reduce the magnitude of any home advantage.
And the good news is that if you're part of a team playing away, there are also things you can do to level the playing field.
Ensuring good, efficient travel, ensuring a rest in their preparation is correct. In terms of actually influencing the crowd, you often hear commentators say things like if they perform well early on, they tend to silence the crowd, which generates less noise, pressure from a player's point of view and an umpire's point of view.
When you go to see any kind of sporting performance, do you contribute to the crowd noise?
I'm typically fairly reserved in my personality, but certainly if there's some exciting stuff happening on the field, it's hard not to kind of get involved. And so singing, clapping, cheering, you know, jumping up and down on your feet, that can be part of it. I don't do it to influence events on the field, but it's just part of the joys of being a sports fan. There's nothing strategic about it.
In the end, the major driver of success is still the talent of the players, and Brad Miles says, for the most part, the best team wins.
Three cheers for Hornswell! Hip ray, hip ray, hip ray!
But it's worth remembering that whether we're being strategic or not, spectators play an important role in supporting any athlete who's brave enough to enter the arena. That was the girls from the Fairymead Bay's Phoenix under-12 soccer team. I also spoke to their coach, Mackenzie Haberfield, and to University of Canterbury Health Sciences lecturer, Dr. Brad Miles. This podcast was produced by me, Katie Gossett, engineered by Alex Harmer, and Tim Watkin is the executive producer of podcasts and series. To hear other episodes, find photos, or subscribe to our newsletter, go to our webpage, rnz.co.nz/ourchangingworld. While you're there, click on the podcast tab to hear some other interesting content, like Untold Pacific, a series of vibrant and provocative stories about New Zealand's relationship with the Pacific. You can also follow the Our Changing World podcast on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, and keep in touch with us on Facebook and Twitter, where we are at RNZ Science. Thanks for your company. Mā te wā.